Well, last week I was just going to share one message on this, but time kind of got away from us, and Pastor Jeff said it would be okay if I went ahead and finished up this week. And so I really appreciate him allowing me to do that. You know, I love sharing the gospel, whether it be in my Sunday school class or just on the street or wherever it may be. And there's so many things that we can do in reaching the world today. And I believe that God has put everything in us that we would need in order to do that, or made everything available that we would need in order to do what He's called each of us to do. So I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. We're covering the subject of the spirit of fear. I didn't label it just as fear, but the book may say overcoming fear, but nonetheless, it's a spirit of fear. And so for my text, I use 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given us a spirit of fear. And notice it says the spirit of fear. What has He given us? He's given us power, love, and a sound mind. So whenever I read this, I read past real quickly the spirit of fear. I want to get to the part that God's given to us, which is that of power. And the word power there is dunamis. It's an ever-producing power that God has put on the inside of each and every one of us. And He's given us a sound mind. Amen? Say amen. I don't know how sound you think your mind is, but that was God's plan and purpose to give us a sound mind. So beyond that, we know that He's put love in us, a sound mind, given us plenty of power to do what we need to do. So we live in a world today, and no one can deny this, we live in a world that's full of fear. And I like to label it from the standpoint that it's a spirit of fear that's in the world today. Now, there were three kinds of fear that I mentioned last week. There is a godly fear, which speaks of reverence to God and awe of God. I mean, if we were standing in His presence from the standpoint that He was standing there where we could see Him, there would be great reverence and it would be an awe to think that the God standing in front of us is the Creator of all things. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He's everything. Why wouldn't we show reverence and why wouldn't we stand in awe? And then I mentioned a second kind of fear. It's a natural, instinctive, self-preserving fear. There are things that I will not do because I know it could be harmful to me. Now, I watched a program on TV. What caught my eye was as far as what I was going to watch is that they were talking about people that are very daring people. How many daring people do we have? Good. That's that instinctive fear on the inside of you that is operating the way that it should. But there's things that I just won't do because it could be a tremendous danger. And that's the kind of a fear that it's not an ungodly fear. It's not a fear that would be damaging to you in any way, but it's one for self-preservation. There's things that I will not do. But in the show, it was showing people that are very daring. They have, and they called it red dye in your brain. Those that have a lot of red dye will do some of the stupidest things. Jump off of a bridge at the Illinois River and hit a log on the way down, you know. And things like that, you know. I think God has put in us something that's very powerful in talking about this self-preservation, this instinctive thing that He's put on the inside of us. But then the one we are talking about is an ungodly, unnatural fear that is satanic. And that's the reason why in 2 Timothy 1:7, it's called the spirit of fear. It's led by demons, demon spirits. It's led by Satan himself. It's there for the purpose to destroy your life. There were four things that I mentioned. I'm not going to mention those again. I kind of put it in a nutshell here. And here's what it'll do. You'll notice in a lot of the messages that I preach, I like to share with you, if the subject matter be as such, of what I'm covering could do to you. They could be damaging to you. And then I like to look at the cause. What is the cause of all of this? Where am I missing it? That's what we're going to be covering today, as well as how to overcome. That's the most important part. So last week I just briefly mentioned that it has the ability, this fear, this ungodly, unnatural fear, has the ability to destroy your family. It can destroy your business. It can destroy your church. It can make you sick. To put it all in a nutshell here, fear produces sickness, disease, failure, heartache, mental disorders, and even brings death. And so we're talking about something that's extremely serious. And we live in a world today where, whether it be Christian or non-Christian, they've come to the place that they just primarily accept it. This is just the way life is. Well, no, this isn't the way life ought to be. This is not the kind of life that God wants you to live. He wants you to be free of fear. How many know that you can be? If the Word of God is everything that it says that it is, you can walk in freedom every day of your life. When you go to bed at night, if you've got fear in your heart, there's going to be causes that is bringing that about that we're going to look at this morning. So when we look at the cause, we look at the root root damage of all of this, or what it is and what it's causing and whatever. Listen, you can't operate in faith and fear at the same time. And what kind of spawned this message? 2 weeks ago, Pastor Jeff, the message he was sharing, he was talking about trust. You can't trust God when you've got fear in your heart. You can try to trust God, and there may be certain things that you can try to do or maybe move to do and whatever, but as long as that fear is present, you're going to be tormented by it. You're going to be in bondage. It's a spirit of fear. Now, can a Christian have that? Absolutely. It's an oppression that's from the devil. We'll see that a little bit more in Scripture when we look at the ministry of Jesus Christ. So what we're going to look at today is some of the causes of fear. And there are four of them that I want to mention, and then we're going to get right over to we're going to get right over to how we can overcome fear and how we can be free of that. I want you to know you can be free of. When I go to bed every night, I check my heart to make sure there's absolutely no fear in my heart or an attack to the devil to come against me. Because if you got financial problems, marital problems, business problems, church problems, I'm telling you, the devil will put fear in your heart and he'll multiply to make it look a whole lot bigger than what it really is. But when you got faith in your heart, it minimizes everything that Satan tries to throw at you, and then you learn how to walk in victory. So here's some causes of fear. Number one is sin. Sin will cause fear. Now, how do we know this? In Genesis, the third chapter, go back to the very beginning of the Bible, and we find that whenever Adam broke covenant with God is when fear came into his heart. He didn't have it before. He didn't have it until he did what? Until he broke covenant with God. Whenever God said, you can eat of all the trees that are in the garden, but that of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he said, you can't touch it. And if you do, you'll surely die. Now, we know it wasn't talking about a physical death because Adam lived beyond that. He was talking about a spiritual death. Whenever Adam died spiritually, that's when fear came into his heart. And now we see that he's hiding from God. And we see certainly the outcome of that, because every generation since Adam, whether you know it or not, you're in the ancestry of Adam. Adam and Eve were the first two people, and here we are, you know, over 6,000 years later, and it all began right there. And that's when sin began. And it's been here upon the earth ever since, and the devil has tried to use everything from the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, to do everything that he did concerning Adam. He tries to pile all this upon us for the reason, even though you're Christian, even for the reason to put you in bondage and put fear in your heart. How many want to walk free with God? I mean, when I say free, whom the Lord has set free, I believe is free indeed. And you can live that every day. But there are a lot of Christians today. Listen, I've heard it over and over again. Whenever I'm talking to them, they're telling me, and they're talking with me, and they're telling me, listen, I just live a life of fear. Here they are, born again Christians, and they begin to share with me all the different fears that they have and what's coming. And I'll say, listen, do you know that's a spirit of fear? It comes from the devil. No, everyone has this. That's what they say. Everyone has fears like this, like it's commonplace. It's not commonplace in God's eyes. It's something that's extremely damaging to all of us. Sin brings guilt. Sin brings, well, guilt brings condemnation, and guilt and condemnation brings what? It brings fear. You got to keep yourself purged of sin. A lot of people are going to go to heaven. There's absolutely no doubt, but they have come to me and said, Pastor, every time I get ready for bed, I'm always concerned whether or not if Jesus comes that I'll go. And they say, I don't want to feel this way, but I'm just fearful that I'm going to be left behind. And I said, well, listen, I don't know what all you're going through, but I can tell you this. When you go to bed at night, if that fear tries to approach you in any way, and it's because there may be sin in your life, just repent of it. Does that sound reasonable? How hard is that? But here's the hard part. I have them to tell me, now listen, I know that I sinned. I know that I did wrong. But I'm ashamed to ask God to forgive me because I did the same thing last week and the week before and the week before that, or maybe the month before. And so I'm ashamed to ask God. That's exactly the way the devil wants you to think. Listen, I learned a long time ago, be a quick repenter. If you've done something wrong, just repent of it. God's made every provision through His Son, Jesus Christ, for you and I, even though we sin knowingly that we're sinning, that we repent of it. And then once we repent, we call upon God to help us not to make that same mistake again. Now, if I ask you, have you ever committed a sin since you've been a Christian? Shake your head or raise your hand. All right. Now, the sin you committed, and we're not looking at any particular sin, but after you sinned, did you feel convicted? Amen? Did you feel like you'd done something wrong? Did you kind of hesitate a little bit and like, you know, I've done this before over and over again, and I'm kind of embarrassed to ask God to forgive me? Well, God will forgive you. Amen? I mean, there have been lots of things we've done. And listen, baby Christians, well, they're going to miss the mark. There's a difference between practicing sin. When I was in sin and practicing sin, didn't bother me at all. Didn't bother you either, did it, John? We just did it. Amen? We just did it. But after I got saved and born again, everything changed in my life. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was on the inside of me. And immediately when I do something wrong, well then, that conviction would come upon me. And I knew, listen, even though I may have done it out of habit or whatever, I repented quickly. And my wife has been a real instrumental in teaching me how to repent quickly. Amen. Because, you know, how many know that men, psychologically, are completely different in their thinking? Because some of you women are really brave in raising your hands. And I mean that from the standpoint that, men, they can do something wrong and a day or two go by and now they have forgot it and they want to be sweet with their wife and all that. Well, I've tried that. And Margaret says, repent. And then don't ever do this. Don't ever say, well, what did I do? Their memory goes back 50 years, I guarantee you. So you just, listen, you just repent. I'm telling you, that's what God has made the provisions for you to repent. Even though you know what you're doing is wrong, you're missing the mark. You're not practicing sin, but you're missing the mark. But if you'll repent and ask God to help you, He'll get you past that. You'll conquer it. So sin is a major cause of fear. Here's the second one. What you listen to or what you hear through the ear gate also will cause fear. Mark 4:24, it says, and he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Now there's a positive and negative here. You hear good things, it'll multiply and other good things will come. But when it's bad things, guess what? It's affecting you in ways that are beyond what you could ever imagine. what you hear. I mean, what are you hearing? What are you hearing on TV? What are you watching on TV? If you look at the world today and everything that's happening in the world, listen, I know the world is in a terrible condition right now. It's been that way ever since I was born. I just didn't recognize it like I do today, but we all know that. But listen, I'm not of this world. I'm in this world like you're in it. But I'm not of this world. And so the things that I hear, I have to be careful. But listen, I don't listen to people that want to give you their testimony of how God made them sick and took their business from them and all of that. And then you ask them about, well, how did God make? Well, God did that because he wanted to get my attention. God will never make you sick to get your attention. But in that sickness that he didn't bring upon you, he'll try to get your attention. Does that make sense? Or in your business. I mean, if your business is your God, well then, I mean, that's a very dangerous thing from the standpoint you may end up losing your money or losing your business or whatever. Listen, as born again children of God, our faith and our trust has got to be in God every day that we live. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, he says, and he'll direct your path. So what we hear is major. Take heed what you hear. Don't listen to all the negative stuff that's out there. There are Christians that are just, by heritage, are negative. Do you know any of them? You get around them, and after a while, you just feel like, man, I feel like I've lost my Christianity because of everything that you're hearing. That's the reason why when you watch the news and you hear everything that's happening, you can't even trust the news. How many know that? You can't trust the news or whatever. And if that's all you're listening to, you're probably going to have fear. Fear of what's happening in the world, what's happening in other countries. You know, fear that Jesus is going to come and you're not going to make it. If you're saved and born again, listen, I want you to get this down deep in your heart. If you're truly saved and born again, you're going to heaven. Don't be fearful. Some of the stupid things that I've heard from people is that, I'm afraid of heights. If I'm raptured, I'm afraid of heights. I'm fearful of heights. I remember Brother John G. Hall, who was a mentor of mine. He used to come every year and teach from his big chart that he gave me. But he said he was in California, and this was a big church. And he said he was teaching on the rapture, and he said there was a... Now, don't take this wrong, okay? There was a rather large lady that was sitting at the very front. And he said she's probably about 500 pounds or even more. And she was sitting there, and she raised her hand because he always opens it up for questions. So she raised her hand, and she said, Brother Hall, I got a question. She said, I've got something I want to share. She said, I'm fearful that when the rapture takes place, I'll get maybe 3-4 feet off of the ground because of her weight. And then she said, I'm afraid I'm going to fall back down in the chair. And he said, listen, sister, if you can make it that far off the ground, God will get you all the way up there, you know. And so, but I can't believe the fears that some people have that are beyond maybe our understanding, but nonetheless, they're real to them. Here's the third thing. What you say and confess can be a cause. Proverbs, one of my favorite scriptures, and the reason why it is because there's a lot God had to do in my life after I got saved and born again. But it says death and life, it's Proverbs 18:21. Death and life, now listen, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. In the power of what? In the power of your words. How many know that your words are important? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So what are you talking? Are you talking death? Are you talking life? I like talking life. That's the reason why it's important whenever you get up in the morning or sometimes during the day, just take the Word of God, all that you know, and just let it overshadow your life. Speak the Word and whatever, and do it every day. Every time you have a pain, you ought to speak the Word over it. I can see you're really excited about that too. Amen. I'm telling you, these things work, folks. I said, these, Everyone got quiet after I said about that 500-pound woman. No, I'm telling you, the Word of God, it works. It really does. You don't have to be fearful if you're born again child of God, whether or not you're going to make it to heaven if your sins are under the blood. Amen. So the words that you speak, the words that you speak have power. I wrote a little book on the words of our mouth, and I had people in the class say, I didn't know there were so many scriptures that talked about the words of our mouth and how damaging that those words can be. People that have fear, here's the thing, people that have fear are going to talk fear. You just get around them, and that's what they're going to be talking about. Last week, I shared a little bit concerning Job in Job 3:25, but I want to add verse 26 to it, and you'll see what fear can do. He said, "For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of has come unto me." Verse 26, he says, "I was not in safety." Evidently, he knew he wasn't because he feared. He goes on to say, "Neither had I rest." Listen, people that are living in fear, they don't have rest. Amen? And he said, "Neither was I quiet." Now, what does that mean? I think he's telling people what his fears are, what could happen, whatever. And we know the very thing that he feared is the very thing that happened to him. Don't tell me fear is not destructive, because it is. It puts people in bondage. Matthew 12:34 says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh." Listen, if you're living in fear, you're going to talk fear. Out of the abundance of your heart, it's going to come forth. And you'll notice that with people. The thing that that's in their hearts the most are the things that they're going to be sharing and talking about. And if it's negative all the time, it's going to affect them. Listen, it becomes a generational curse for some. I've had people say, "You know, my mother was a worrier and had all kinds of fear," or "my grandmother, my mother was the same way, and now this same spirit is coming after me." It can be generational. Here's the fourth thing. Wrong believing is a cause. Fear comes whenever you believe more in the problem than you believe in God and His Word. Jesus didn't tell us to look at the problem. He said, "Speak to the problem." Matthew 11:23, he said, "For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto that mountain, 'Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea,' shall not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things that you say if shall come to pass, you'll have whatsoever you say." I believe that with all my heart. God has given us every promise that you and I would ever need to be successful in life. And we find out that our believing is not consistent with the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 1:7, where it says God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. You know where Satan attacks us the most on? Our power. Those three things. Our power, our love, and our sound mind. He tries to convince you of everything that he possibly can. Listen, we all have mountains. But he said, "I want you to speak to the mountain." It may be finances. It could be sickness. It could be cancer. It could be some disease of some kind. It could be all kinds of different things. He said, "Speak to it." Now, that almost sounds foreign to us, doesn't it? You mean you want me to speak to that? Absolutely. That's what God said. Speak to it and you'll have whatsoever you saith. We've got to get serious about where we're living. A mountain looks big when you look at it with fear, but it looks really tiny when you look at it in faith. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to do. Fear is driven from your life whenever the truth of God's Word gets on the inside of you. A lot of people read their Bibles, but listen, it's not just reading your Bible. It's meditating the Word of God. It's getting the Word of God on the inside of you, down deep on the inside. So when something comes, you know what's going to come out of your mouth first? It's going to be the Word of God. It's going to be what God says in His Word. That's where it's at, in what God says in His Word. So how do we overcome fear? All right, here's number one. I'll go through these rather quickly due to time. But the first one is you must recognize where fear comes from. Who is your enemy? Say it out loud. Satan is. John 10:10 says, "The thief," who is Satan, "he comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. But Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Where do you want to live? In the life that God gives us, or you want to live in the fear that Satan will bring, the destruction that he'll bring to your heart and to your life? Listen, I don't know about you, but I want to live where God wants me to live, which is in his word. It's a very powerful thing, isn't it, to be able to live in the word of God. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes around seeking whom he may devour." Now, I want you to know something. Satan is not omniscient. Otherwise, he's not all-knowing. Amen? He doesn't know what you're thinking until you what? Until you speak it. He goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He's seeking. All he's got to do is listen to what you're saying. And then I'm telling you, he'll come after you. He'll put fear in your heart. You'll see what's happening to other people that you're close to, and they're telling you all these negative things. And before you know it, you're having a heart pain or a back pain, or you feel sick or whatever, because that's what they're going through. That's how Satan finds out who you are, what you believe, where you're at with God, how much word you know. When he throws all of this at you, you need to be ready. Be ready in season and out of season. Here's number two. Well, let me make one more comment about this. You got to recognize who your enemy is. In the ministry of Jesus, which was such a powerful ministry, I spent like 2 years or more just studying the ministry of Jesus when I first got into ministry. I just wanted to find out how Jesus dealt with everything. But whenever I read Acts 10:38, it said volumes to me how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. Now listen, God has anointed us with the Holy Ghost and power. And it says, and Jesus went about doing good. Now listen to it. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Don't tell me sickness is a blessing. Amen? It's not a, well, God made me sick. He wanted to get my attention. Well, would your mother make you sick to get your attention? She's liable to beat the hide off from you, but she's not going to make you sick. No, she wouldn't do that, and God doesn't do it. Sickness comes from the devil. It's because of the fall. And do you know that your body has it has everything that it needs to heal itself? You know, when you have a surgery, the doctor doesn't heal you from the surgery he just gave you. He may have taken your gallbladder out, but I'm just saying, he doesn't heal you from the sense of your wounds and whatever. Your body heals itself. Does that make sense? And people don't realize that. It has the ability. You cut your arm or whatever, and your body has the ability to heal itself. But Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed. Now, to cut your arm is not an act of the devil or whatever, but that's the power you've got in your body. But Jesus went about healing all those that were oppressed of the devil. Oppressed of that sickness is an oppression from the devil. Things that Satan will throw at you that'll destroy you mentally, physically, socially, in every way possible. He's going around as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, I mean, if he comes down my street, he's got to go on. Amen. Here's the second thing. You are to confront fear. Listen, when there's a problem, we've got to confront it, especially if we're dealing with something like this. You overcome the spirit of fear with God's power. To overcome fear, you cannot deny it. You can't hide from it. You can't run from it. It's going to be ever present in your life, until you deal with it. You've got to deal with the fear. 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Your faith in God and God's word will help you get beyond that. And I want you to notice too, throughout the Bible, and I don't say that you have to check this, but there's so many scriptures that says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Just over and over again, it tells us to fear not. Well, if he tells us not to fear, evidently he's given us the ability that we don't have to fear. Amen. Be unfair for God to say, listen, fear not, don't be afraid, and then us not have the ability to do that. No, God has given that to us as we look upon him and his power and what he's done in our life and how he's going to take care of us, that he's on the inside of us. He's with us everywhere we go. Isaiah 41:10, it says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's God we're talking about. Listen, we're not in this battle alone. God's in this with us. All right, number three, and I'm trying to be time conscious here too. Number three, you are to reject fear with an act of your will and call upon God. You don't realize how strong your will is. How many know that God made you a free moral agent? How many of you know that you have the power of choice? Matter of fact, the devil and God, either one, they can't do anything in your life unless you will it. God's not going to make you get saved. The devil, now listen, the devil, regardless of what Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. No, regardless, I'm telling you, the devil cannot make you do anything no more than God can make you. You've got to make the decision. But once you make the decision and make a God decision, you're going to find out God's going to be ever present. He's going to be there to help you through the whole thing. Psalms 34:4, it says, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from my fears. Psalms 56:3-4, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God will I praise his word. In God I will put my trust. I will not fear. See, he's making a decision. I will not fear what can flesh do to me. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Here's what Deuteronomy, I saved this for the last on this point. Deuteronomy 30:19. I've read it hundreds of times. It says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, choose life, that both you, that both thou and thy seed may live. So the power of choice is pretty powerful, isn't it? God has set all of this before us. It's all available. Being free, set free, free from fear, free from everything Satan would throw at you, it's going to come against you. Once you got saved, people have told me, you know, once I get saved, I probably won't have any trials, tribulations. And I said, no, once you get saved and born again, you're going to have plenty of them. But the difference is, before you didn't have God, but now you do. And that makes all the difference in the world. So you choose. How many wants to live in the blessings? How many want to live in the cursings? None of us. You make the choice. Here's number four. You overcome fear. I couldn't leave this out. I know that there's been a lot of teaching on love and whatever, but love is very important. You overcome fear through perfect love. Not just love, but it says perfect love. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out. Perfect love does what? It casteth out all fear, because fear hath torment. Any fear you have, an ungodly fear, is going to bring torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Our responsibility is to love the Lord thy God first, and then love our neighbor as ourself. And if you can't do that, then you can't walk in perfect love. Perfect love, here's the way I look at perfect love. Perfect love is living in the presence of God. Amen. I just did a little short series on Wednesday night, living in the presence of God. Whenever you know who's on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit is there to lead, guide, direct you. He's your comforter. He's your everything. He's on the inside of you. When you go to bed at night, you are a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. When you go to bed at night, do you know your spirit is wide awake? Your body may be asleep. How many knew that? How many did know it? If you didn't, you wouldn't raise your hand anyway, probably. No, but your spirit is very much, it's alive, it's awake. spirit man is awake. And you get that word of God in you, that word is working in you even while you're sleeping. And people never mention that or even think about that or whatever. Listen, the Holy Spirit is in you. Your spirit is very conscious about the Holy Spirit, who He is. He's on the inside of you. And that word's on the inside of you. It's working. If you're sick, I'm telling you that word is working on you even when you're sleeping. It's working on the inside of you. I love that. I found that out about 40 years ago, and it's been a part of my life ever since. Holy Spirit is in there. He's leading me, guiding me, protecting me. His word is quickening me. And that brings us to the last point that I have, point number five. You overcome fear with the truth of God's word. God's word is a sword. How many knew that? Hebrews 4:12, it says the word of God is alive. It says quick, but the word quick is an old English word which means alive. The word of God is alive, quicker than anything you could ever imagine whenever it's working on the inside of you. Listen to it. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's how powerful this word is. This is the answer to fear right here. God's word. John 8:32, it says, and ye shall know the truth. You'll know the truth. What is the truth? The truth is God's word. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? It'll make you free. It'll set you free. I don't know about you, but I like living in that freedom that God gives us. John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. There's nothing more powerful than the word of God. If you absent yourself from the word of God, you're going to absent yourself from growing in faith and growing your relationship with God. Because faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you want to grow in the word of God, you're going to grow your faith. You're going to have to, if you want to grow in the word of God, grow your faith in the word of God, you're going to have to get in the word of God. You're going to have to read it. No, that's just what the pastor's supposed to do. And the associate pastor and the staff, you know, the ministry staff and what. No, that's what you've got to do. Every one of us have opportunity to live the kind of life that God would want us to live. So I close with this. Isaiah 41:10. He said, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I'll help you. I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand. Psalms 91:10. No evil shall befall you, nor any plague come nigh thy dwelling. I quote that every day. Every day. Now, it doesn't mean sickness won't try to come against you. But I'll tell you, if it tries to, first thing that pops up in me is the word of God. This is what the word says. He was wounded for my transgressions, bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 says it now by after his death, burial, and resurrection. It says, by his stripes ye were healed. How many know the were is past tense? It's already been paid for. He would have it that you'd prosper and be in health even as your soul prospered. Think of all the scriptures that God has given us that we need to know in order to walk in the victory that God wants us to walk in. And we can do it. I've had lots of people said, no one can live there. Well, they can. And I know plenty of people that do. Doesn't mean that they don't have attacks from the enemy, because they will. I do. I had an attack this morning. I finished my class upstairs and came down and well, the music was good. I tell you, Pastor, you broke whatever Satan was throwing at me, because he'll take your clarity, you know. I've got all these things that just going through my heart and whatever. But then if you don't turn your mind off, all of a sudden you're thinking about things and the enemy is right there to oblige you and say, listen, you're going to goof up today. I goof up all the time. And when I'm preaching, I say things that I shouldn't say. That's the reason why I said last week, whatever I've messed up, Pastor, he'll take care of it. Amen. I'm just saying, all of us have attacks from the devil. And I just finished a book too, and it'll be available to anyone that wants it. It's six things that every Christian will face. Six things. There's more than that, but six major things that every Christian will face. And one of them is failure. Don't tell me you've never failed. Oh, you haven't? Well, I have. Discouragement is another one. I'm not going to give them all to you. Insecurity is one too. Here, I might as well give them all. Hey, here's the one that gets my attention more than anything, and that is my wilderness experiences. But those wilderness experiences, everyone's going to have them, but often we think we've lost out with God and whatever. You haven't. It's a wilderness experience that can grow you if you'll let it. Amen? It'll grow you. I didn't learn that till I was in ministry for several years because I kept having a bunch of them. And I thought, I'll just give up. I'll just quit ministry. Have you ever had one, Pastor? Maybe a few of them? We all do. And there's a couple others that I'm not going to give to you. But, you know, they're all very depressing, isn't it, when you even think about it? But nonetheless, I mean, through all of that, we're going to make it, folks. We're going to make it. I met whenever Jason was doing the communion. That was really good, Jason. And I'm just talking now. Let's get serious. But I was listening to a preacher here a while back, and he was talking about the two thieves that were on the cross. And you'd mentioned that today. There was one of them that said to Jesus, you know, remember me whenever you come into paradise. And Jesus said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. And so that thief, he died as Jesus died. And then they kind of dramatized a little bit, this preacher did. But he said, this man, he went to heaven. And at the door, St. Peter was there and said, and you know, who are you? And why would you think you could come into heaven? He said, because the man that was crucified in the middle cross said I could. And he made it. The guy made it. Stop and think about that. He made it. We think salvation is so hard and difficult to understand. It's not. The thief made it. You're going to make it. Amen. I said you're going to make it. Come on, stand with me.